Hello, and welcome to Torah in Motion's MP3 audio library. We hope you enjoy this recording of a live Torah in Motion presentation. For more information, please visit www.torahinmotion.org. Thank you.
It makes sense, just like we did with Rosh Hashanah, to begin discussing Yom Kippur and really any other Yom Tov with the Psukim in the Torah. And the truth is that the presentation of Yom Kippur on the one hand seems to mesh with the others, but if you look at it carefully, the Torah already gives you an indication of Yom Kippur's uniqueness. Not a full indication, but at least a partial one. In order to appreciate this uniqueness, you of course have to read the totality of the Psukim beforehand regarding the other Yomim Tovim. As we've learned over the past days, Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah are only mentioned in Vayikra, meaning Emor, and Bamidbar, meaning Pinchas. The main place that discusses it, though, is in Emor, and let's take a look. The Torah there is speaking about the Moadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh. And what I'd like to show you is that by each one of the Moadim, the most basic definition and expression of Mikra Kodesh is the Yisur to do Melacha. Look, for example, in Pasuk Gimel, Shabbat, which of course we're familiar with. Sheishet yamim tiaseh melacha v'yom ha'shvi'i shabbat shabbaton mikra kodesh. What does that mean? Kol melacha lo ta'asu. Let's look at Pesach now, the next Yom Tov, Pasuk Zayin. V'yom ha'rishon mikra kodesh yiyeh lachem. What does that mean? Kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu. Pasuk Chet. On the seventh day of Pesach there's a mikra kodesh. What does that mean? Kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu. Again and again. Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk Chaf Dalet concludes Zichron Tura Mikra Kodesh. Pasuk Chaf Hey, Kol Melachat Avodah Lo Tasu. Mikra Kodesh means number one, you don't do malacha, which makes sense. If we want to distinguish a day from others, think about even outside of Judaism. If you want to distinguish a day from others, the first thing you do is that you don't work. And those of you who have actually worked, very few of you. Where's Sandy? Oh, Sandy went. Those of you who had a job this summer, you know that the most basic definition of Yom Tov is you don't work. And you guys, you know, especially if you went to high schools where you didn't really work, not mentioning anything specifically, so you don't really know what it means to have a Yom Tov. But if you've worked in your life, you know that Yom Tov begins with the fact that you don't work. Let's look now at Yom Kippur. Is Yom Kippur's Mikra Kodesh presented the same way? The Mikra Kodesh of Yom Kippur appears in Pasuk of Zayin, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Ach Be'etzor L'Chodesh Shviya Zayom, HaKippurim Hu Mikra Kodesh Yalachem. What are we expecting to hear? Kom Alech Zavod Lotas. What does it say? V'initim Es Nafsho Sechem. Only in the Pasuk afterwards are we told about the Yisra Malacha. So this is very interesting, and should cause us to wonder to what extent the Mikra Kodesh of Yom Kippur is essentially rooted not in Yisra Malacha, but maybe in Inui. And of course, what does the word Inui mean? This is where we learn that you shouldn't eat and you shouldn't drink and the other things we don't do in Yom Kippur. But isn't it interesting that instead of telling us don't eat and don't drink, the Torah formulates it as Inui? What is the role of Inui in Yom Kippur? How does it relate to Malacha? If you continue reading these psukim here, you'll see that Inui and Malacha are always not only juxtaposed to each other, but at a certain point, even linked to each other. Look at Pasuk Chaf Chet, it says, Chol malacha lo ta'asu, don't do work on Yom Kippur. Ki Yom Kippurim hu. Pasuk Chaf Tet. Ki kol hanefesh asher lo ti'uneh be'etzem hayom hazeh v'nichrata me'ameha. It says don't do work on Yom Kippur because someone who doesn't do Inui is going to get kares. It's like saying don't cross the street because someone who sits at home is going to get kares. What it seems is that Inui is connected to malacha. By doing malacha somehow you're not doing Inui. So number one, Inui is placed in the focal point of the piece. And number two, there's this linkage established between the two. This is what you see here in these psukim, and there's one more word that's important. It's interesting to look at the word that this description of Yom Kippur begins with. What is the word? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Leimar? Ach. Now what does ach mean? What does it mean? But. We're presenting the Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. What's but on Yom Kippur? It seems to imply that there's some difference. There's some pulling back. Right? There's some hesitance. There's some contrast. And the understanding of the word Achir is very important. especially if the question we're asking ourselves, and we are, and it makes sense, is to what extent Yom Kippur is like other Yomim Tovim. Now, it may seem strange to you that we ask this question regarding Rosh Hashanah, we ask this question by Yom Kippur, but it makes all the sense in the world. Mishalosh Regalim are a group, they're always presented that way. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur come in from the outside. We saw on the first day of the Shirim that they're linked by the Torah with the word Shabbaton, with a similar carbon musaf. So the same question needs to be asked by Rosh Hashanah, by Yom Kippur. What are each one of their relationships with the regular Yomim Tovim? This is what we're going to be examining for the next few minutes today. I'm going to try and get to a deeper understanding of the very nature of Yom Kippur. Later today, we're going to conclude by talking about it on a deeper level, on a more philosophical, hashkafic, musar, to try and appreciate the message on a deeper level beyond the halachic definition of Yom Kippur, but we're going to begin now with that halachic definition. And basically, what I'd like to show you is that there are two approaches to Yom Kippur, and again, we'll try and bring them together and see where it leads. Two approaches to Yom Kippur's relationship to the other Yomim Tovim. There are those who see Yom Kippur as essentially the same with slight differences, and there are those who see Yom Kippur as inherently, basically different, although there are slight similarities. Let's begin with Rashi. The word Ach, of course, is the test word. Ach. We have all the Yom Tovim, but Yom Kippur. How significant is that Ach? So let's look at Rashi here. First source in letter Aleph. Of course, if you look at the Psukim in Bamidbar, which I've skipped, the Psukim in Bamidbar also present Inui by Yom Kippur as the expression of Mikra Kodesh. Compare Perakov Tes Pasuk Aleph by Rosh Hashanah, where it says, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem Kol Malachat Avodah Lo Ta'asu, then Pasuk Zayin by Yom Kippur, Uve'esor Lachodesh Shvi'a Zen Mikra Kodesh Yelachem V'yinisem Es Nafsho Seichem. So again, this linkage of Inui to Mikra Kodesh, or Mikra Kodesh to Inui, is not just in Amor. In any case, what does Rashi say about the word Ach? Rashi says, all Achs and Rachs in the Torah are a miut. They're limiting it in some way. And what is the miut here of the Ach by Yom Kippur? To tell you that Yom Kippur is mechaper only for those who do tshuva. Now, what's interesting about this Rashi for our purposes today is not what he says, but what he doesn't say. Rashi says the Ach has to do with the internal workings of Yom Kippur. It's not meant to distinguish Yom Kippur from the other Yom Tovim. The impression you could get from Rashi is that, is Yom Kippur basically like other Yom Tovim? Yes. What Rashi just did was take the Ach that could have been seen as distinguishing Yom Kippur from the others, and saying, no, that Ach is on the inside. It deals with the internal workings of Yom Kippur, which are very important for Yom Kippur, but not relating to the relationship between Yom Kippur and the others. Before I take your question, what I want to show you is how this interpretation of Rashi fits in nicely with Rashi's general view. Rashi goes out of his way to equate between Yom Kippur and the other Yomim Tovim. Let me show you what I mean. We saw yesterday that Mikra Kodesh on a regular Yom Tov means what? Ma'achal, eating, mishteh, drinking, and clean clothing. Now, Yom Kippur isn't doing very well as far as that goes, because how many of those things does Yom Kippur have? One. Yom Kippur is batting 1 for 3, which is pretty weak when it comes to halacha. It doesn't seem that similar. So what does Rashi do, third source in the bottom, on the Mikra Kodesh of Yom Kippur? Rashi explains, Kadshehu, sanctify the day, Biksut Nikiyah, which is of course the one Yom Kippur has, Uvitzfila. Where did that come from? Uvishar Yamim Tovim, and on other Yom Tivs, V'machal, V'mishto, V'ksus Nikiyah, Uvitzfila. So firstly, you see, Rashi is trying to justify Yom Kippur as being like the other Yomim Tovim. Because it says Mikra Kodesh, right? It doesn't have what regular Yomim Tovim had. It only has 1 out of 3. So first of all, Rashi slips in a fourth. What's the fourth one that Rashi slips in with the Machal Mishtak Sisnakiya? Tvila. So Yom Kippur has 2 out of 4. Regular Yomim Tovim have all 4. Yom Kippur has 2. Essentially, Rashi is trying to create this equation. After questions, I'll show you others who express this idea. And we'll see how far various Rishonim went in equating Yom Kippur to a regular Yom Tov. Yes?
Even if we don't equate, are there any nafkaminos? So we know that it's called the Yom Tov.
There are many nafkaminos of the question of the equation, and we're about to see. I'm going to show you a number of nafkaminos. Okay? So you shouldn't think this is just a theoretical, conceptual, analytical, waste of time question. You're going to see all kinds of exciting stuff. Okay? All right. The truth is that the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes already seems to describe Yom Kippur as part of a regular Yom Tov. The Gemara asks there the pasuk in Yeshayahu, which says, "V'lekadosh Hashem mechubad." Amar le, this is Yom Kippur, which doesn't have achila and shtiyah, and the Torah says, "Kabdehu b'ksut nikiya." So you see this tension. Is Yom Kippur a mikra kodesh? Is it lekadosh Hashem mechubad? It doesn't have achila and shtiyah, but you can express it through ksut nikiya. The first nafkamin of this question appears in the Radvaz, the great Egyptian Shoal Umeshiv guy. The Radvaz holds the record for the most tshuvos written by a Rishon. He has thousands of tshuvot. People aren't as familiar with him. He was in the end of the Rishonic period. And he was asked, should we be making a bracha on lighting the neros of Yom Kippur? The person who asked the question said to him, it's just a minug. We should make a bracha on just a minug. And the Radvaz answers, that just like we make a bracha when we light the Shabbos and the Yom Tov candles, because of kavod Shabbos and Yom Tov, so too we make a bracha, top of page 2, or at least I don't have the booklet. I should switch with someone, because I need to know what you guys are looking at, right? Okay? right. Page 2. So too we should make a bracha on lighting the candles of Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is also like a Shabbos and a Yom Tov. And it says, L'kdosh Hashem Chubad. Another nafkamina. A person who has to eat on Yom Kippur. They're sick, they have to eat. Do they say Yalla V'yavo? Well, you know what it depends upon? Whether Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov, the Shulchan Aruch says, a chol who eats in Yom Kippur has to mention Yom Kippur in Yalev Yavo in Birchas Hamazon. Mishnah Berurah says, Hatam, Kevin Debeh Teirach, he's eating something that's mutter if you eat bis, or if you eat treif, you don't bench. But this is a mutter for him. Havale Yom Kippur, Kimo Lididan, Shar Yamim Tovim. Yom Kippur is for him, like for us, a regular Yom Tov. So essentially, there is a notion of Yom Tov and celebrating. We don't generally eat on Yom Kippur because you also have to fast. But if you're a person who, for whatever reason, is eating, you say Yalev Yavo. I have two questions. I'm going to show you how far this notion goes of equating Yom Kippur to a regular Yom Tov. Yes.
Yeah, but if Yom Kippur is a fast day, there's no benching.
That's excellent. So generally, you don't bench. If a person is sick though and needs to eat, so they're going to be benching. So the Yom Tov nature comes through. Yeah. I think that's the implication of the Mishnah Berurah here. Havale Yom Kippur kimo ledidan shar Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is for him, like a regular Yom Tov is for us. What I'm going to try and suggest later, you'll see that even for us it's a Yom Tov, but a Yom Tov that can't express itself through eating. In potential it has it, for everyone. It's only expressed for a chola. I thought I saw someone. Okay. This idea of it being a Yom Tov, we see in a number of contexts. We saw it's Mikra Kodesh. You saw how Rashi tried to show it's Mikra Kodesh. We just saw people talking about Hilchas Yom Tov, right? Yalev Yavo, lighting candles and making a bracha. And the Sifra, the Medrash Halacha and Sefer Vayikra, actually uses these words within a context that I don't want to get into. Rosh Hashanah Shehu Yom Tov Ki Yom HaKippurim. It's a Yom Tov. But what I'd like to show you now is that there are those who said that not only is it Mikra Kodesh, and not only is it Yom Tov, but it even has the quintessential expression of Yom Tov, which is Simcha. Now the last thing we would think we have on Yom Kippur is Simcha, but what we're going to see is that there are those who extended this there as well. And the context for this discussion, we saw it yesterday briefly, is the question of saying Shehecheyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem discusses whether we say Shehecheyanu or not. And the Gemara concludes, bold words, Anoa kara chadatanami aminazman. We, even when we eat a new pumpkin. How many of you have ever eaten a pumpkin? I assume there's a lot of pumpkins around on Halloween because they carve out the inside. There should be pumpkin pie and pumpkin soup and all kinds of pumpkin stuff. You don't get it, no? I figure just like we sell our treif animals to the guy, and they should sell their treif pumpkins to us. And Halloween time, we should be able to go to Amis and you know, the dairy treat place and what a bagel. You should be able to get all kinds of pumpkin stuff. No? No? Okay. I would assume. So when you eat a new pumpkin, Amin Azman, you say Shehecheyanu. So too, you say Shehecheyanu, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But why, essentially? Does it imply that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are like truly like a Yom Tov? So if you look at Rabbi Yonas Milunil in his Pirush on the Rif, six verses from the bottom, he says, we say Shehecheyanu on a new fruit. Kol Shkein B'Simchat Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. Simchat Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. there are other halachos that seem to be dependent upon this. The Gemara in Moed Katan, Mishnah actually, Daf Yutet, tells us that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have the same halacha as a regular Yom Tov regarding Avelut. Those of you who ever had relatives who were in Avelut, or yourselves, fortunately, you know that if a person goes into Avelut before Yom Tov, the Yom Tov breaks the Avelut, the Shiva, the Shloshim, whichever it is. What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? The Mishnah says it breaks it. And the Sheiltos of Rabbi Achai, third source in the bottom, says why? Because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim have the Simcha of a regular Yom Tov. And the truth is that the Rambam seems to imply this as well. The Rambam we saw yesterday. Remember we saw the Rambam, bottom of page 2, top of page 3, that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim we don't say Hallel. Why is that? The Rambam explains because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not days of Simcha Yeterah, top of page 3. Implication being, they seem to be days of some Simcha. And the truth is, we should be able to bring a proof to this idea of Yom Kippur being a Yom Tov of Simcha from the famous Mishnah in Ta'anis, top of page 3. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchayom kippurim. There weren't Yom Tovim to the Jewish people as great as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. And in case you're wondering what the greatness of the Yom Tov, what the atmosphere was, it was dancing, frolicking. I think you could call that Simcha. And it's interesting to see the reason the Gemara gives for the Simcha and Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, Bishlam Yom Kippur, we understand the Simcha, Mishum De'it Be'i Slicha U'Mechila, because the people were forgiven. Doesn't say because it's a regular Yom Tov. The unique Simcha and Yom Kippur was over having been forgiven, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later. But this position of equating Yom Kippur to a regular Yom Tov and going so far to say that there's even Simcha is one that's well rooted within the sources. Of course, we're going to have to try and understand what does it mean that you have Simcha when you're fasting, which is very strange. But after questions, I'd like to show you first, before we try and understand this better, the other position, which was the position mainly of the Spanish Rishonim, that Yom Kippur is essentially different. What's interesting is that this position has basis in the Rambam also, which is going to force us to understand a little bit better what exactly the Rambam's position was. Any questions? Okay, so let's continue. The Rambam, although on one level, we just saw, he holds that there are some dinim of Yom Tov that apply in Yom Kippur, which din did we just see? Simcha. The Rambam does not list Yom Kippur as a Yom Tov. We saw yesterday the Rambam's list, here again, the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, there are 6 days he considers to be a Yom Tov. Pesach, first day, last day, Sukkot, first day, last day, Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos, period. And here he drives a wedge between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not included. Yom Kippur has its own set of halachot. And even though the Rambam paskins, like the Gemara, that we say Shecheyanu on Yom Kippur, he goes out of his way to stress to you that this should not make you think that Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. What does the Rambam say? Kol Leile Yom Tov, Uvelel Yom Kippurim, Omrim Shechianu. You say Shechianu, but don't think it's a Yom Tov. So the question is how you understand that Gemara which says you say Shechianu on Yom Kippur. The Rav Yah, one of the great German Mishonim, drives an even greater wedge between the Shechianu of Yom Kippur and a regular Yom Tov. He says, regular Yom Tov, the Shechianu is Midaraisa. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Shechianu is only Midarabanan. Yom Kippur is different. And what would the basis in the psukim be for establishing this difference? Of course, that word that Rashi so played down, the word ach. And we're going to look now at the Spanish parshanim, the Spanish commentaries to the pasuk, and see how they understood the word ach. The Ibn Ezra says, "V'tam ach be'esor, ba'avur sheyom mikra kodesh yom simcha." A real mikra kodesh is a day of simcha, like it says in Sefer Ezra, the psukim we saw yesterday on Rosh Hashanah. And Yom Kippur is not. The Sforno elaborates on this. Ach ve'esor l'chodesh v'shvi'i. Even though another mikra kodesh, it's roi l'smach u'les aneg v'achila v'shtia. Mikol makom ve'esor l'chodesh hu Yom Kippurim. L'hitvadot, l'hitonein gever l'chata'av, to admit sin. V'eino yom simcha v'ta'anug. Why does it say ach? Because Yom Kippur is a different ballgame. It's not a day of simcha. In fact, we saw the halacha before that he's supposed to say Ya'alev Yavo on Yom Kippur. There are those who disagree. The Spanish Rishonim, like the Rashba, the Shelos and Chubas of the Rashba, he disagrees and says, we don't say Ya'alev Yavo. Because essentially, Yom Kippur is not a Yom Tov. Why would this be? Second source from the bottom. The Gemara in Moed Tatan tells us the very famous principle, Ein Simcha B'lo Achilav Shtiyah. And everybody knows that. If you're invited over to a Rebbe's house and there's no food, you walk in there and you take a look and you're like, it's one of those, eh? Everyone puts their heads down, turns their watch a little closer to themselves on the wrist, and wait for it to end. There's food. The Rebbe can divrei Torah, we'll stop for a little bit, but there's food. And it's amazing. The food can be bisli or bamba. If there's food and drink, it's a party. It doesn't have to be as special as the food we had last night from King Solomon's. It doesn't have to. I mean, if it is King Solomon's, of course. Now, I want you guys to know why the term is, why the name is King Solomon. I'm going to tell you a deeper word. On Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, the Shulchan Aruch goes out of his way, it's based on the Mishnah and Tanis, to tell you that even though it's in the 9 days, you have to really party. And how does he tell you really party, Shulchan Aruch says? You're supposed to put it on your table like the Suda of Shlomo HaMelech B'Sha'ato. So you see in the Shulchan Aruch, when he tries to think, imagine, the greatest possible party, what does he say? Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, so that's King Solomon. So last night we were Zayichah, we had this. But even if not, even if you don't have chicken balls, and two kinds of chicken wings, and egg rolls, and the buffet, even if you don't have it, Nishtagadach, you know, some people don't have it. Still, if there's food and drink, the simple. Without food and drink, there's no simcha. A ta'anis can't be a deb simcha. That's what the Rambam says in the bottom of page 3 about a ta'anis. Anyone is in a ta'anis. To do it properly, it shouldn't just be not eating. It should be you're not mekel rosh. You're not sameach v'tov lev. There's a basic contradiction. If you look at the top of page 4, the Urayim makes the same point. Remember we saw yesterday, the Urayim says that even though simcha is mentioned in the Torah only regarding Sukkot and Shavuot, the Urayim says all the Yom and Tovim are connected to each other, so there's simcha on the other ones too. And the Urayim says, maybe there should be simcha on Yom Kippur then. He says, no. Yom Kippur, even though it's part of the Yom and Tovim, it's mentioned together, it's not Bechlal Simcha. How do we know? Taksiv Bevini Semes Nasha Sechem. Inui wipes out any expression of simcha. This is how the Ran explains his minog, which is our minog, by the way, that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat, we do not say Tzidkas Chatzedek, because Rosh Hashanah is a happy day, and Tzidkas Chatzedek after Mincha on Shabbat is like a Tachanun. But when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat, our custom, which was the Ran's custom, is to say Tzidkas Chatzedek. Even though it's Yom Kippur. It is a sad day, explains the Ran, because on Rosh Hashanah there's Simcha, there's Achila and Shtiyah, like a regular Yom Tov. Avol b'Yom HaKippurim, Kevan Shehu Yom Inui, Omrim also, because it's a day of Inui, that's the focal point of the Pasuk. Therefore, we don't say Tzidkas Chatzedek. So therefore, we've seen two basic approaches to Yom Kippur. Is Yom Kippur essentially like a Yom Tov? It's a Mikra Kodesh. We say Yalav V'Yavo. We may even have Simcha. Or do we say Yom Kippur? It's totally different. There's no Simcha. It may not even be a Yom Tov. We wouldn't say Yalev Yavo. Now, of course, the question that would need to be asked according to this approach, and I'd like to relate to this question for a few minutes, because it's a very basic one to understanding Yom Kippur and many of its periphery halachot, is how can you say Yom Kippur isn't a Yom Tov? The Torah calls it Mikra Kodesh. What about the Mishnah and Ta'anit, which talks about Yamim Tovim, dancing? So I think there are two basic approaches one could take to this, and through these approaches we're going to get an even better appreciation of Yom Kippur, and then we'll conclude with one last point. The first approach in dealing with the relationship between Mikra Kodesh and Inui is the approach summarized in Ot Aleph with Pitzul. Who knows what the word Pitzul means? There are girls from the open I hear, no? Pitzul means to split, lefatzel. To basically say, part of Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov, part of Yom Kippur is a Ta'anis. The first place we find this is in Rabbi Akiva Eger. Here the guys before Israel are all shaking back and forth. They're really proud of this. We're not supposed to know Hebrew. Everyone else is on the spot here. They're in trouble. Guys, make sure when the year's over you know what the word Pitzul is, because we'll be back. And then it'll be your problem. In any case, Rabbi Akiva Eger had an interesting question, which was, on a regular Ta'anis, a person who's not eating, can he get an aliyah of the Torah? No, he's not part of the Ta'anit. He can't represent the Tzibur. What about on Yom Kippur? A person who, for whatever reason, is not fasting on Yom Kippur, let's say he's sick, can he get an aliyah? Where did the question come up? They made a minyan in someone's house on Yom Kippur. The person was very, very ill. They wanted to give him an aliyah to be mezakehin. Could he have an aliyah or not? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says is, the reading of the Torah and Yom Kippur in the morning is because it's a regular Yom Tov for Shabbos. The morning Kriya of Yom Kippur is not Midin Ta'anis. It says the afternoon Kriya at Mincha, that is Midin Ta'anis. Why would it make sense to make this distinction? Because in general on a Ta'anis, our focus is not on Shachris, it's on Mincha. Shachris, the Tzibur does not say Anenu. We don't have a Haftorah. Mincha is where the focal point of the Ta'anit lies for a very simple reason. In the morning, you're not yet fasting. Why are you not yet fasting? You're not yet supposed to be eating. The fast is felt at Mincha. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger, and we know this from Yom Kippur also. If you can put aside the psychological thing that when a guy wakes up on Yom Kippur in the morning, I assume a girl too, although I've never woken up that way. When you wake up Yom Kippur in the morning, at least not that I recall. Of course, you wouldn't know about the moment of waking up. I can just tell you by the time I got to the mirror, I was a guy. In any case, when you wake up the morning of Yom Kippur, you're already like, I'm fasting, I'm hungry. Now the truth is, you shouldn't be. Unless you usually eat a lot of food at 12 o'clock at night. But that's a psychological thing. You got to tell yourself, don't bother me with the Ta'anis yet, I'm not yet fasting. Come back at Mincha. But if you do that, he'll come back at Mincha. In any case, when you wake up in the morning, you're not yet hungry. The Ta'anis is in the afternoon. So this first suggestion, Rabbi Akiva Eger, is to say, there is a Yom Tov component of Yom Kippur. It's in the morning. There's a different form of this separation that we find already in the Rishonim. And what do I mean? There's a famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes that everybody, I'm sure, is aware of, that points out that the Torah begins referring to Yom Kippur as Tisha B'Erev, the ninth at night. So the Gemara asks, are you supposed to fast the ninth day too? So the Gemara answers, of course, anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth day, it's as if he fasted the ninth and the tenth day. Now the question is, why is it so important to eat on the ninth day? So there are all kinds of explanations for this. There's some who say it's to make the fast easier. There's some who say it's to make the fast harder, which is interesting. It might be both. But there is an additional explanation, which is the explanation of the Ritva and the Maharil, which seem to have disappeared from the page. Why don't I see the Maharil I see here? Right. The Maharil says that if a person makes a neder not to eat meat or drink wine, with the exception of Yom Tov, they're allowed to eat meat and drink wine on Erev Yom Kippur. Because Erev Yom Kippur is also considered a Yom Tov. That's why you're supposed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. What's the explanation for this? The Rif is going to appear later. The explanation is that essentially Yom Kippur is supposed to be a Yom Tov when we eat and drink. Why can't we eat and drink on Erev Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur? Because it's a Ta'anis. But we really should be eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Why should we be? Because it's a Yom Tov. We're being absolved. But we can't. So when do we express the celebratory aspect of Yom Kippur? On Erev Yom Kippur. But eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov because essentially Yom Kippur should be a Yom Tov to celebrate the fact that we're going to be absolved. And I think that's why the Gemara says, "Kol ha'ochel v'shose be'erev Yom Kippur." Achila and shtia are the expressions of Yom Tov. And the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur is expressed on Erev Yom Kippur. The Beis Yosef says here, since on Yom Kippur itself we can't be mechavet it with ma'achal and mishta, k'derev she'mechad and shay yamim tovim, tzarech lechavdo b'yom shelefanov. We have to do this beforehand. The Shari Tshuva, which is the Musa Sefer of Rabbeinu Yonah, says the same idea. And therefore there are many halachos of Yom Tov on Erev Yom Kippur. That's why some people have a suda, you get dressed up, you have lechem mishnah. It's not just, let's fill ourselves with food. It's an expression of Yom Tov. Just one more point before your question. Tosfos says a similar idea regarding Matzah Yom Kippur, top of page 5. Tosfos says there's a mitzvah to have a special suda on Matzah Yom Kippur. Why? End of the first source on page 5. The ein ze bechinam. That we're just eating on Matzah Yom Kippur. The Belel Yom Kippurim, mitzvah l'troach u'lahachin sarchei suda, tahave ke'ein Yom Tov. Why? Why is there a Yom Tov on Erev Yom Kippur and on Matzah Yom Kippur? Because really there should be a Yom Tov of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. But what happens? The Inui slams down on Yom Kippur and totally squelches and expels any expression of Yom Tov of eating and drinking. So where does it expel it to? Where does it flow out to? Right before and right after. Before Yom Kippur, we anticipate Haslicha u'Mechila. After Yom Kippur, we celebrate Haslicha u'Mechila. On Yom Kippur itself, we're, of course, Be'inui. This is the first explanation of how those who say that there isn't Simcha on Yom Kippur will explain the Mikra Kodesh. After questions, I'd like to show you one more approach, and then I want to try and explain where this whole debate comes from and how, bottom line, we should be viewing Yom Kippur. Yes? Oh, okay. The other approach is to say, here on page 5, Ot Bet, that there's a Sug Acher Shel Mikra Kodesh. Yom Kippur is a different kind of Mikra Kodesh. And in order to understand this, we have to understand what the words Mikra Kodesh mean. Let's translate the words. These words are a lot easier than the word Pitzul. What does Mikra Kodesh mean? Don't be afraid. Can't be too far off here. Mikra Kodesh. Calling it holy. Showing that it's special. The goal is to show that it's special. So Chazal say, how do you do that? Eating, drinking, clean clothing. But are eating, drinking, and clean clothing the goal or the means? What's the goal? Showing it's special, right? We use those things to show it's special. But as soon as something is a means to an end and not an end in and of itself, it's possible to substitute for those things. If you look carefully at the Lashon of the Chizkuni, he says something beautiful in the word Ach. He says, Ach is a mute. All of the other Moadim are Mikra Kodesh b'machol v'mishta v'ksos v'tanuk. Rak zeh nikra Mikra Kodesh b'inui nefesh. Appreciate the difference between the Chizkuni and what we saw in Rashi. Rashi tries to compare Yom Kippur to the other Yom Tovim on the level of the means. Yom Kippur also has ksos tekiyah. It also has tefillah. Chizkuni says no. Yom Kippur is like the others only in the goal of showing it special. How we show it special is different. Not only different, but opposite. Let me ask you a question. Does anyone think Yom Kippur isn't a special day? You spend all day fasting and in shul and davening. You don't think it's special? Yom Kippur is clearly special. It's shown to be special very differently than a regular Yom Tov. But it's clearly special. It's Mikra Kodesh, not through Simcha, but through Inui. And this, I think, explains, skip the Ramban, this Masechet Sof from which says that on Yom Kippur we don't say the words Yom Tov. Because there's no Yom Tov on a fast day. We say B'yom Mikra Kodesh. And Masechet Sof explains at the end, we don't say the word Moed, we don't say the word Simcha. According to this approach, Yom Kippur might be a Mikra Kodesh. It's not a Yom Tov. It's not Simcha. Simcha and Yom Tov are a particular form of Mikra Kodesh. Yom Kippur is a different form of Mikra Kodesh. So therefore, to summarize, and we'll conclude, and I'll try and bring out the last basic point. One approach sees the fact that the words Mikra Kodesh are mentioned by Yom Kippur as showing that Yom Kippur is like a regular Yom Tov, maybe even with Simcha. The other approach says Yom Kippur is basically different. It's Mikra Kodesh, which expresses itself on Erev Yom Kippur, Matzi Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur itself by showing it's special through Tefillah, through Inui, but it's not a Yom Tov and there isn't Simcha. Regarding that Mishnah and Tanit, there's an important word that has to be read there. It doesn't say there aren't Yomim Tovim for Yisrael. It says, Lo Hayu Yamim Tovim Yisrael. In the time of the Beit Mikdash, the people were able to celebrate their Slicha and Mechila on Yom Kippur, when the red thread turned to white, and they knew that they were forgiven. We unfortunately do not have that on Yom Kippur, because throughout the end of the day, we still don't know if we've actually been forgiven. So I'd like to try and explain briefly what this debate is about, and conclude a little bit with an understanding of what this means for our Yom Kippur. This is a debate. Is Yom Kippur essentially a Yom Tov or not? Now, this debate, I think, could depend on a number of questions. Number one, it could depend on what we mean by Simcha. Can you have Simcha on a day of Inui? To what extent is Simcha something that has to be through Achila Vashtia, in which case you don't have it in Yom Kippur? Or can Simcha be something that's more, I don't want to say the word spiritual because it sounds corny and cliche and cliched, but can it be something that's purer? Can it be something that's more appreciative of what we're accomplishing without the expression of Achila Vashtia? And this could be part of the debate. But I think the second question is even more central, and that is, there are two components to Yom Kippur as we saw in the Torah. The Torah mentions Inui, and the Torah mentions not doing Malacha. And the not doing Malacha on Yom Kippur is even more accentuated than on a regular Yom Tov, because the Isser Malacha on Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. So what is the real focus of Yom Kippur? And what I'd like to suggest is, if the focus is Inui, then you can't say it's a day of Simcha. But if the focus is not doing Malacha, so then maybe you can view it as a day of Simcha. Let me show you what I mean. The idea that the focus is Inui is, I think, something we could all understand. And those who are interested in, like to try and be short this morning, can take a look at the sources on page 6, where there's shocking examples there of how much Inui is the focus. I'll just mention briefly. The Gemara seems to say that there are certain kinds of malachos a person is allowed to do in Yom Kippur if they cause him pain. Like peeling onions. What you see is that the goal is pain. And therefore, you might even be able to do malacha if that malacha causes you pain. And that's an interesting Gemara here, which, for brevity's sake, we're not going to get into. But the really novel approach is the approach on page 7, the approach of the Rambam. The Rambam held that the focal point of Yom Kippur was not suffering, but rather not doing malacha, not doing in general. What particular word did the Rambam use to express this? The word shvisa. The Rambam has a discussion in Hilchos Erevin where he basically says that Yom Kippur is more like Shabbat than it is like a Yom Tov. And the truth is, if you look at the order of halachot in the Sefer of the Rambam begins with Hilchot Shabbat, this is Sefer Zmanim, then Hilchot Yom Kippur, then Hilchot Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is like Shabbat. Why is this so? If you look at the second source from the bottom, when the Rambam mentions the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, he mentions that you have to fast in Yom Kippur. But look how he explains it. He says on the third line, after he mentions all the things you can't do, he says, Hashvisa mechuyeves me'ela hapulot kulam. We're mechuyav not to do these things. What does it mean not to do these things? Shvita. To resist from doing these things. When he quotes the pasuk of Yinisim es nafsho seichem, he says, Ke'ilu yomer shechova bo hashvita hamiyuchedet bimelachot. V'hamasim v'hashtita miyuchedet b'mazon haguf v'kiyumo. The Rambam says there are two kinds of rest. There's a rest from work, and there's a rest from eating. Yom Kippur is a day of double rest. Why? The Torah says it calls Yom Kippur Shabbat Shabbaton, which means it's super rest. It's super separation. It's not about suffering. And you see this the way the Rambam mentions the halachot on the bottom of page 7. If you were writing the laws of Yom Kippur, first of all, what would you call them? I call them Hilchos Yom Kippur. What does the Rambam call them? Look at the title of the Halachot. Hilchot Shvitot Ha'asor. The restings of the 10th day. And if you wanted to start, which halacha would you begin Yom Kippur with? You would probably start with Halacha of Inui. What does he begin with? Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah Saseh Ma Lishvot Mimilacha. To not do work. And then when he finally gets to the laws of Inui in Halacha Dalet, he says, Mitzvah Saseh Acheres Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim V'hi Lishbot Bo Me'achila V'Shtia. How does he present the fact that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? As the din of Inui? What does he present it as? The din of Shvisa. As we saw in the Psukim, the Torah links between the Shvisa and the Inui, but the question is which one is the focal one? So others, as I mentioned briefly in passing, say Inui is the focus. The Rambam says the focus is Shvisa. And the not eating, the not drinking, and the not doing of other things is basically a way of resisting from more things in this world. And if you look at the top of page 8, there are many other halachot in the continuation of that parak where the Rambam talks about the comparisons between achila and shtia and melacha. Look, for example, al chavav, kishem sheshvut melacha bo bein bayom uvein balayla. Just like not doing malacha applies in Yom Kippur both during the day and during the night, kach shvut le'inui, so to the inui form of shvisa is bein b'yom uvein b'layla. You see how the Rambam sees the equation? But they're all about shvisa. Or, the name of the halachot, hilchot shvitot ha'asor. The resting on the 10th day. Now, what I'd like to try and explain to you is the philosophical underpinnings of these two approaches. Yom Kippur is a day where we achieve kapara, slicha and mechila. How do we do it? How does a person absolve themselves? How does a person purify themselves? So those who say that Yom Kippur is a day of inui are basically adopting the purgatory approach to kapara. You've been bad. You've eaten things that are wrong. You've done things that are wrong. Today we're going to burn it off. Kind of like the idea that's expressed in Tefillat Zaka, if anyone davens that before you start Kol Nidre. I ate these things, now I'm going to burn off those fats. I did things that are wrong, I'm going to resist from doing anything now. Right? My body's going to go on strike. That's one approach. But the Rambam had a different approach. The Rambam's approach was, it's not about suffering, it's about redefining. It's about living on a higher level. And the Ritva, second source in the bottom, really expresses this idea very well. The Ritva is explaining the Gemara we saw earlier that you're supposed to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, who says, it's Kedei Laharos Ki Kadosh Hayom Lelokeinu, to show that the day of Yom Kippur is really holy. V'ra'ui Lechol Bo Mamtakim. And it's fitting to be eating on Yom Kippur itself. Kimo B'Rosh Hashanah. Ela Shegzerat HaKatufu. Lifrosh bo bayom mitavot kufaniot. There's a gzerat haketuv that even though it's a yomtiv, we should separate ourselves from ta'avot. Shenihye kimalachim. The goal is not to cause suffering. The goal is to try to live at least for a day on a different level, on a level of malachim. What's the message of living this way? All year round, the fact that we need to eat and drink, the fact that we pursue ta'avot, the fact that God puts within us the need to eat, the need to build families with all the drives that that has within us. And I think we can safely say that a good amount of the bad and silly things we do have to do with the fact that boys like girls and girls like boys. People can grasp that themselves. And look where that leads us. On Yom Kippur, all those things become prohibited. And the goal is that a person, at least for a day, should live life on the ideal level. We can't live life that way. But in Yom Kippur, we make a statement that we wish we could have that purity. Yom Kippur is where a person says that on the level of ideology, on the level of spirit, on the level of truth, I wish I could live with the purity of a malach. I know I can't. I know I'm not meant to, because that's how God created me. But I'm meant to want to. I'm meant to strive for that. The way to achieve kapara, to be absolved, to be cleansed, is to show the fact that we wish we could be all the time. We wish we didn't have the pressures of our world. And obviously the lesson after Yom Kippur is not, but we don't, so back into the mud. After Yom Kippur we say, you know what? We have to eat and drink, and we have to have these other things, but let's try and do them right. Let's try and do them a little bit better. But in Yom Kippur we go to the extreme. On Yom Kippur, we absolve ourselves of the sins that result from the realities of our life by pulling back from those realities, by walking away from them, by living like malachim. And that's the Rambam's approach to Yom Kippur. And of course, the two approaches are not contradictory. And a person on Yom Kippur feels pain, and there are those who say that that's part of the goal. And the goal is that a person should feel the pain over the terrible things they've done, and that's one aspect. Not at all contradictory. And the second is to see the beauty beyond it, which is the separation. To be able to live life and to appreciate and to wish we could live life with that sanctity, with that purity, to try and take some of it with us after Yom Kippur as well. So I hope Shani's around, and I assume she'll get started in a few minutes, and then I'll finish and close the day. In case people are leaving, I wanted to say that it was very nice to be here with you. And anyone who would like to speak to me more, what I suggest is take advantage during Shani Shir, and the same for Shani during my second Shir, so that afterwards, I'm told we have to hurry to the airport, v'chule, v'chule, so anyone who wants to have a teary goodbye should, I don't mean you can tear in a minute, but, you know, a long, you know, sensitive, meaningful goodbye, I'm going to be available now for Shir, and I assume Shani during my Shir. Shabbat Shalom to everyone.